and handle the truth. Good morning, and welcome back, my friends. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. We call it the fastest 4 hours in talk radio, and guess what? It's a big surprise. It is. Welcome to all of you joining us on shortwave at frequency 3.215. Welcome to all of you listening online at republicbroadcasting.org. Our website, franklyspeakingradio.com, lots of great information there, including the call-in phone number, which is 800-313-9443, toll-free and worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. Now with Patty here, and obviously we could talk to him for hours and hours and hours, and still not have enough time to get all the information. And I'd like to have him back and just do a call-in segment where you guys can ask your questions, but really phenomenal stuff. We will take your calls this hour if you're interested in an open line hour, or if you'd like to talk about topic-specific things, such as what Patty had to say, such as what our good friend Ralph Epperson had to talk about last night. Powerful information, ladies and gentlemen. But, you know, we're told that things will be like they were, I guess you could say, in the days of Noah. Now, I find this to be extremely interesting based on what's going on. Maybe you've heard this, maybe you have not. But it came out earlier today or yesterday, if you prefer. Reuters is where you can find it. It says, Noah's Ark, built to save humanity and the animal kingdom in the face of a great flood, is being reconstructed in model form on Mount Ararat as a warning to mankind to act now to prevent global warming. Very interesting, isn't it? How everything kind of ties together like that. Here you've got probably, most likely, someone that's never read the Bible. Okay, never really understood the significance of the rainbow and the pact that God has made about not destroying the planet. However, when you talk about global warming, inevitably people talk about the ice caps melting and sea level rising, indicating something similar to a great flood. So the way to draw attention to this is for activists to get together and build a model of Noah's Ark on Mount Ararat to symbolize to people, hey, look, this thing can happen again. The whole earth could flood out, and we're all going to be screwed unless you either, A, build a giant boat, or B, you stop global warming right now. Again, it's very interesting the way they sort of incorporate this. They say, hey, you Bible-reading people, this should highlight to you what an important thing it is. And again, I find it to be fascinating, as it was in the days of Noah. So is this not something similar? Granted, we're told that the earth will never be flooded again. It will never be the earth will not be destroyed by flood again. However, the idea of sea level rising, even if it's just a little bit, if it's going to affect a lot of the coastal areas, that's where the majority of the population on the planet lives, is in the coastal region. So you can see that this is going to take on a new significance to people who, again, haven't necessarily read the scriptures. Although, again, like it was in the days of Noah, well, it was probably like a lot of things in the days of Noah, not just the flooding aspect, but many, many other things as well. So we continue with the story. Environmental activists are behind the initiative in the lush green foothills of the snow-capped mountain in eastern Turkey, where the Bible says the vessel came to rest after a flood had wiped out corrupt humanity. Volunteers are racing to complete the wooden vessel under bright sunshine by end May to coincide with the summit of leading countries next month in Germany, where climate change will be high on the agenda, said Wolfgang Sadiq, campaign leader for Greenpeace, which is behind the project. He said, quote, this is directed mainly at the politicians of this earth, to world leaders who are primarily responsible for the climate catastrophe which is taking place and for the solution. The aim is to put on Mount Ararat a memorial, a warning sign that also gives hope, to shake up the world and to say that if we don't react now, it is too late, end quote. He said, as carpenters hammered away at the Ark's bow at an altitude of 2,400 meters. Rising sea levels are a central concern of climate change, but there are deep divisions on ways to tackle the threat. Germany wants G8 countries at next month's meeting to agree to the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, that's the UN IPCC report, and promote carbon trading as a way to penalize greenhouse gas emissions. But U.S. Chief Climate Negotiator Harlan Wilson Watson, excuse me, said last week the United States will continue to reject emission targets or cap and trade schemes. We'll continue. Stay with us.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. PersonalArms.com carries the highest quality law enforcement grade pepper spray and sells it at true wholesale prices that start at $6.95. Check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. This electronic watchdog sees through walls. Electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com/RBN. That's www.personalarms.com/RBN or call 1-201-641-1442. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or local law, so check your laws before making your purchase.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's Herbal Healer.
There's a problem.
Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. Finishing up the story, it says, in the biblical Noah's Ark story, well known to Jews, Christians, and Muslims, God decides to punish humanity's sins by destroying life on earth with a flood. He chooses righteous Noah to preserve life by saving his family and pairs of all the world's animals which board the boat two by two. Such a menagerie would strain the model ark, which at just 10 meters long and 4 meters high would barely house Noah's family. The Bible says the original ark was 300 cubits long, longer than a soccer pitch. I don't know. I guess that means field. The model will be even a tight fit for climbers if, as planned, it ultimately becomes a mountain hut. Timber for the boat was hauled up by horse up the mountain last week, and the volunteers face logistical problems working at a high altitude in a remote place. They're also working against the clock for the May 31st ceremony when doves will be released from the boat and an appeal made to world leaders to counter global warming. Noah sent a dove out from the ark to see if the flood had subsided. So fascinating stuff in light of our guest this evening, and certainly a great tie-in to global warming and whatnot. So your thoughts, 800-313-9443. Let's go to Alice in Arkansas. Welcome to the show. Let's go to Bart in Missouri. Welcome to the show.
Yes, sir.
How are you, sir?
Fine. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
In reference to your last guest, the doctor, I wondered, did you ever see this old movie with Sean Connery and Jane Fonda called Zardoz, where the pyramids come floating down out of the sky?
No.
You didn't?
I've never seen that. I've never even heard of that.
Zardoz. Well, yeah, well, there weren't these pyramids. There was this big pyramid that came floating down out of the sky, and Jane Fonda and Sean Connery are dressed up in, like, you know, animal skins. And when the pyramid lands, behold, inside there's a pistol. And I really don't remember how the thing goes from there, but that's just what the doctor was talking about. I guess my key question is, what does Hollywood know about these things? They've done it time and time again. They show us and tell us things that, okay, so what?
Yeah, absolutely. It's very interesting because, again, have you seen Stargate, the movie, rather than the TV show, per se?
No, sir.
Okay.
No, sir.
Yeah, so in that film, of course, you've got the entire ancient Egyptian sort of mythology, their entire culture based on these pyramids and these pharaohs and whatnot, who are, in actuality, of course, extraterrestrial craft and extraterrestrials in human form. But it is really fascinating when you start looking at all the different connections and all the different tie-ins. I mean, it's a very popular series. It's actually, you know, the TV show based on the film that had run for a long time and then been canceled and then brought back. And then I don't know what's going on, but I think it's about to wrap up. But 9 years on television and certainly millions of dollars at the box office with the film version, there is something there. And it's intriguing when you look at this, because how is it possible that the Great Pyramid could have been constructed at that time in the methods that we've been told?
I don't believe any of it, Frank.
No, I don't either.
It all just sort of floated down, and just now there it is. There they are. Whatever.
You don't believe in any of the idea that it was constructed by human beings, or that?
Oh, yeah, sure. It took a million slaves and pulleys.
And, of course, they did it with trees cut down, you know, all the vast forests of Egypt that they were cutting down to make these logs to roll these giant stone blocks on.
The only reason I'll have... After you, sir.
Oh, go ahead, please.
The only reason I laugh is because it's so humorously impossible.
It is. I've talked to engineers and people with great knowledge of the construction techniques and whatnot that would be required, and they said, look, we can't even do this today. You know, we pat ourselves on the back for all the great things we've done, and yes, you know, we've been out in space and supposedly traveled to the moon, and we've, you know, conquered all of these various obstacles to human development, and yet we still can't do something and reconstruct something, reproduce something that was done thousands of years ago. So it tends to be a humbling, I think, and sobering thought.
Remember, my friends around the world and you, Frank, somebody is lying to us. And the movie, once again, is Zardoz.
Okay. I'll have to check that out. I've never heard of that, and I don't know if Patty is familiar with it, but I will check that out.
Well, everyone is familiar with Jane Fonda and Sean Connery.
Oh, yeah, that is very true. I don't imagine it'd be too hard to find, but fantastic stuff. Thank you so much, Bart. I appreciate the input.
I love being able to join you.
Hey, I appreciate you making the call, my friend. Thanks so much.
Cool.
Bye-bye. Yeah, amazing stuff. I've not seen that film. I will go and try to hunt that film down and see this. I'm curious about the context of it, but even, you know, the idea of as he was saying, about a pistol being located inside, we think about that. It's just a destructive force of some sort of technology that you know, wasn't right for the people, perhaps, who it was given to. And it's very interesting when you explore, and again, in Patty's books, you can read this for yourself, but it does talk a lot about, you know, as it was in the days of Noah, for example, and why, you know, it wasn't just humanity, in essence, that was destroyed. It was also animals as well, right? So why were only, you know, two of each animal allowed on the ark, and so on and so forth? And he goes into really an incredible explanation about genetic engineering. And again, you look at the Egyptian mythology and the various gods with their animal heads, jackal heads, and so on and so forth, bird heads, and you start to really delve into what we talked about with Tom Horn last week on the show, which is, again, genetic engineering, animal-human hybrids, and so on and so forth. It really starts to get nasty. So it would seem that we are in these days of Noah, whether you're talking about genetic manipulation, you're talking about aberrant sexuality, you're talking about any number of things, certainly corruption from on high, it would seem that we are in the days of Noah, which I think is a very significant thing. Now, again, for those who don't know, I would strongly urge you to pick up a Bible sometime and read about it. After all, when you think about Revelation in general, it is, in essence, a revelation to be able to say, here is something that was written down a long time ago that, you know, whether you believe it or not, supposedly will happen in the future. Wouldn't you want to know? I mean, if you could get a newspaper a day, a week, a month ahead of time, wouldn't you read the heck out of that newspaper to know every little thing that was going to happen? Even if it was insignificant, it was just a local newspaper, and they said, oh, yeah, well, you know, here in the police blotter, so-and-so is going to get going to have the cops called on them because they're being too loud having a party, and so-and-so from such-and-such place was in a car accident. The tiniest, most minute things you would want to know about, just to say that you knew, just to say, I've got a leg up on everybody else. I know how tomorrow's going to go. Of course you would read it. Why are people so reluctant to read Revelation? And again, one of the main reasons is just because people are inherently lazy. Now, not you and not me, but people in general, certainly people here in America. We want everything to be presented in an easier way. If it's a book, we want it to be an audio book. If it's a movie, we want to be able to watch it at home. If it's a book, it should be made into a movie. If it's a movie, we want a movie that can be condensed into a few minutes rather than a few hours. And again, it just goes on and on and on. Now, are we a busy people? Absolutely, without a doubt. But at the same time, because we are so busy, we take any available free time, and we want to spend it the way we want to spend it, and sometimes that doesn't involve giving yourself an education. So that's why, you know, when we have all of these authors on the show, and I was just talking to Grant Hall the other day, and he said, boy, you sure do interview a lot of authors. And I said, yeah, I do. And I do that for a reason. So that way, let's say I was interviewing, you know, Joe Smith, who lives down the street from me. How does that benefit you? I mean, you can't necessarily, maybe you could, I don't know, but I mean, presumably you wouldn't be able to call up Joe Smith and say, hey, I want to chat with you about some of your research in an hour that's a little bit more in keeping with my schedule rather than, of course, a late night on the radio. It would be very difficult to do. So finding people that have websites and books and whatnot, you get a vast assortment of options available to you. You know, everybody in this time, you know, looking at the financial situations and all over the country, and certainly we've complained extensively about gasoline prices as of late, and it just goes on and on. You don't have a whole lot of disposable income to be blowing on things that you don't want. So, you know, when we talk to various authors, people who write books and have stuff available to you, whatever it may be, not necessarily authors, but just anything, you probably have a variety of different options available to you to figure out if this is something you want to invest your money into. You know, not just what I say about it, because what I say may be different from what you would think. But here, plain and simple, is this book, Apocalypse Soon, an understanding of the book of Revelation, which is, again, inherently a very important thing. And Patty's research is going to differ from other people's research. His interpretations are going to differ from other people's interpretations, but it is important to understand. It's important to try to understand, and you're blessed for it. It says it right there. That's really the whole point, right? Being able to prepare for the future, whatever that may be and however far off that may be. Absolutely. Spiritual preparation, by all means, folks, trumps all. And it's interesting, too, because we opened up the show, and I was kind of talking about sort of how, you know, I've been feeling lately, and I know that you guys probably have been feeling a lot of the same things. This heavy, heavy weight, okay, spiritually, psychologically, however you want to interpret it, but just a sense of foreboding, a sense of, you know, and really no discernible reason to really point my finger at. And I found it to be very, very intriguing, and not in a good way. You know, a stomach ache can be intriguing because you're like, wow, that's a weird sensation. Doesn't mean it's a good one. And that's kind of how I felt as of late, just not really certain of what's going on. And a lot of people have talked about prior to September 11th, feeling that same sense of foreboding, bad dreams, things like that. I don't know. Maybe that's what it is. But It could be that it's something else completely and differently. And anyway, I'll sort of babble a little bit more about that before we get back to news. When we come back here in about 3 minutes, be aware of our phone number, folks. You may want to chime in, 800-313-9443. Toll free and worldwide, 1-800-313-9443.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Glad you're here, folks. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. So when we left off, I was just kind of babbling about this sort of this feeling that I've been feeling, and I'm sure a lot of you have as well. Luckily, and I do consider myself very, very blessed, very fortunate, that I have a lot of people that I can reach out to and talk with about stuff like this. And I'm not saying, like, you know, go see a psychiatrist to talk about my feelings and how I feel about, you know, my parents or whatever the heck else nonsense they would sort of, you know, feed us to explain away certain things. But rather because I know that it's important to sort of bounce ideas off of each other. And I do try to do that to a great extent. So, calling and talking to some people in the last couple of days and sort of saying, hey, where are you at? I've heard from people who are feeling a lot of the same things. Again, not really anything about a definitive personal thing. Little minor inconveniences, you know, that sort of thing where, you know, maybe something's not working right. You know, your computer, your car, your whatever, right? Just things aren't working. You break a shoelace, you know. Just a thing that would be a minor irritant for the most part, but becomes, you know, a bigger issue, but certainly not the core issue. So what is the core issue? So as I was doing some telephonic surveying, I guess you could say, it was interesting to find out how many people are feeling like this as of late. Now, obviously, there's a number of different rationalizations for it. You could say, oh, it's the weather changes, or it's HARP, it's a variety of other things. I don't doubt that all of those perhaps play a part. But again, when you're talking about spiritual warfare, these are things that are raging at all times. And are your defenses down more these times? I don't know. Is it just simply that the enemy is stronger or more focused? I think that's very, very likely. So in the course of it, I was talking to a friend today, and he was telling me that he thinks that this whole thing is basically, if you think about all the bad stuff that we've talked about, and certainly the news is sort of forecasting and looking at all this stuff, it would seem that bad things are on the way. Okay, we've got another show of naval force in Iran. Iran appears to have defied the UN Security Council. War possibly on the horizon, which it's kind of been that way for, 2 years now? It's been a while, but it looks like it's more likely at this time than maybe at any other point. And people are starting to be concerned about oil and the economy and what's happening. Of course, presidential election right around the corner, it would seem, given all the campaign trail speeches and things that we see day in and day out. So when I was talking to this guy, we were talking about all these things, and he said, you know, I think that some of us are perceiving this in advance. The feelings, the mood, the collective, you know, impressions of people, and sort of feeling it in advance, almost like a sort of, as you could say, a spiritual preparation for what's coming. It would be the equivalent of, let's say maybe you've got a relative who's very, very sick, a relative maybe on life support, and they've been there, with no hope for a long, long time. Maybe by the time that person lets go, maybe you're okay with it because you've sort of grieved in advance, knowing that this was coming. Maybe that's what this is. I don't know. But it was interesting because when I was talking to this this friend, he was saying, you know, if you look at all the different things out there and you look at sort of how people perceive what's coming and sort of where things are at, you've got, Sodom and Gomorrah. And you've got Lot trying to bargain and say, hey, look, if I can find this many people who are worth saving, God, you know, will you spare the city? And I think it's almost like that, too. You know, here you've got, you know, people all, like us all over the place. And there are a lot of good people out there, a lot of good people. I don't necessarily count myself among them, but I'd like to. So when you think about that, maybe God is sort of staving off things. If you looked at this ramping up of this war with Iran and the significance of sort of how much this war will, you know, really drag in various nations, this is going to be a big one, far, far, far bigger than Iraq or Afghanistan or anything like that. It's not simply a little, you know, one country versus another country, punch each other, and then, oh, one wins, one loses. It's not like that anymore. Iran has so many economic and security and military partnerships with a variety of other countries that they have a vested interest in Iran being not under the thumb of the United States. And, of course, other countries would say, hey, better us to invade Iran than the United States. And it just goes on and on like that. So what if the powers that be and their minions, their spiritual warriors, the dark side, if you will, they view us as being the reason why maybe things have been staved off, either because of what we're doing, you know, talking about this stuff on the radio, the truth, because of our prayers, because of our faith. Who knows? You know, I don't know a whole lot of people out there praying for the end of the world, praying for World War III, praying for these things to happen, but there are people who do that. And if we're out there trying to stave off terrorism and government-sponsored terrorism and tyranny and enslavement of the human spirit and certainly the human body as well, if we're trying to stop that, they might view us as the enemies, in which case their spiritual attacks would be levied against us. And maybe you're feeling this too, folks. I just want you to know, as I said earlier, you're not alone in this. Okay, we're all feeling it in this time. Stay with us. Back in three.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. PersonalArms.com carries the highest quality law enforcement grade pepper spray and sells it at true wholesale prices that start at $6.95. Check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. This electronic watchdog sees through walls. Electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com/RBN. That's www.personalarms.com/RBN or call 1-201-641-1442. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or local law, so check your laws before making a purchase.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Love, come quick. Love, come in a hurry. There are thieves in the temple tonight. They don't care where they kick, just as long as they hurt you. There are thieves in the temple tonight. Love, if you dare, come save me from all this cold despair.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, folks. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Thrilled you're here. Okay. So just got done sort of a long diatribe about sort of the state of things and where we're all at. I think that It does. It does tend to weigh on us, this whole thing going on in the world. And there's so many different areas to try to keep track of, keep tabs of, and stay aware and on top of it, and yet involved enough where you can make a difference. What happened there? I think that's almost exactly in this fashion why everything's happening so fast and on so many different levels, so many different angles. We talked last night a little bit, Ralph Epperson, our guest. Of course, he was not very excited about the immigration thing. Neither am I, and certainly we got some stories to talk about that as well. But it's one of many issues. And everybody has their own thing. Everybody has an issue that maybe they see as a greater priority than somebody else. And everybody wants to do something. They want to say, oh, I got to do this, I got to do that. I remember before the Iraq war, you know, people were having demonstrations all over the place. And I remember people in town, there was a little die-in in some places. And I remember somebody in town had said, dude, I would die to stop this war. Okay. You may remember there was a gal, I think she was in Australia, and she said that she would allow President Bush the opportunity to crucify her alive, nail her to a cross, if he would just not invade Iraq. Now, again, moderately silly, but it does show you the passion involved with some of these people. Right? I mean, this is how much people want to change things for the better. It's a mess, man, because you're looking at so many different issues. You're looking at so many different subjects and saying, well, gosh, I could spend every waking moment of every single day I have left to me working to stop every one of these issues. And what are the odds I'm going to be successful on any one? I mean, you could devote all of your focus onto one issue and still feel overwhelmed by the whole thing. It's just that comprehensive. I've never, never seen anything like what I'm seeing now. And you might say, well, Frank, you're only 32 years old. That's true. And if you're older than that, maybe you'll concur. Maybe you'd say, you're right. Things have never been this bad before. So you see people and they start to look at things and they start to try to fix things and whatnot. And it's just, it's a hard, hard, hard reality check for a lot of people. I think it is anyway. Because everybody wants to make a difference and rarely do people agree. You can go to your closest friend or relative and express to them your passion about an issue, and they may say, well, that's true, and I see your point and all. But at the same time, I think that I should focus on a different issue entirely. So good luck with your fight, and I'm going to go fight my fight. And that's just natural because, again, people see things differently, and they react to things differently, and they want to fix things differently. But you have to go where you're led individually and so on and so forth. And I don't begrudge anybody their mentality, their walk, and their agenda, as long as I'm entitled to have my own. But when you start to see people agree on things, it's moderately scary. So we talked a little bit over there about Noah's Ark being rebuilt to highlight to people the seriousness of climate change. Again, negating scriptural relevance, but it is interesting, again, in that story which came out earlier today, Reuters, it says, quote, in the biblical Noah's Ark story, well known to Jews, Christians, and Muslims, God decides to punish humanity's sins by destroying life on earth with a flood. So again, it highlights the Jews, the Christians, and the Muslims, and you're saying, well, gosh, you know, they can all agree that Noah's Ark, you know, is a reality, that the flood story was a reality, and that the purpose of it was to, of course, be spared God's wrath. And in terms of, obviously, Christian groups and whatnot, and, well, I should say religious groups in general, yeah, nobody wants the wrath of God down on them, right? Especially a religious group of some sort. So when you look at the context of that story, they're bringing it up to highlight something. They're saying, hey, look, whether you're Christian, you're Jewish, or you're Muslim, you still understand the significance of the flood story. It's very, very important, and certainly in various cultures all over the planet, people have a flood story somewhere in their creation history and their story whatsoever. So the idea of the context of that story, that angle, the Jews, the Christians, the Muslims, they're bringing it up to say, look, even people who are worlds apart in their beliefs still agree on that. Hence, the idea of rebuilding this ark as a model form, of course, far, far smaller. Well, that should highlight to you, if that exemplifies to you how important that issue is in the way that they contextualize it, saying these three very disparate religions, these different belief structures still can agree on that. It's common ground, right? Common ground is where you say, hey, look, we can agree to disagree on many things, but let's find what we do agree on. Again, partnering up. So when you see people agreeing on certain things, it's worth taking note on, and hence the importance of this one. PRNewsWire.com came out on the 22nd. In an unprecedented show of unity amidst worldwide discord, Muslims, Christians, and Jewish religious leaders today announced a pact. A pact? What kind of pact? A pact to fight global warming together for the sake of creation. Very, very interesting. Their joint statement delivered to the White House and congressional leadership calls for immediate action, including mandatory limits on greenhouse gas emissions. Quote, an interfaith declaration on the moral responsibility of the U.S. government to address global warming, end quote, comes on the heels of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change's most recent report that makes clear the serious risks of delay, noting that without action, emissions could double from current levels by the year 2030. According to the statement, quote, this is an historic moment when Jews, Christians, and Muslims stand together in solidarity with a shared sense of moral purpose on global warming. We accept the overwhelming scientific evidence which forecasts extreme consequence for the Earth and all of its inhabitants if we fail to act, end quote. So how are they failing to act? Apparently, acting is to demand that the U.S. government address global warming. It's not necessarily, they don't want to do anything. They all just want to stand there together in unity and point fingers at the U.S. government and say, you better address this. We, Jews and Christians and Muslims, stand together and, you know, in unison, we point our finger at you. That's kind of what they're saying. But again, when you start seeing all of this agreement, it's time to be concerned, because it's significant enough to address in a previous story to highlight the importance of an issue or again, the wide acceptance of the issue. So when it's brought up in this context, it takes on a new meaning to say, hey, look at these people who are, you know, various religious groups who hate each other, who are killing each other in parts of the world for various reasons. And they agree that global warming is a big issue. I think that should exemplify to you sort of where this whole thing is going. We already talked about the evangelicals and how they have certainly sought to involve themselves in politics in the 2000 and 2004 election, even more so, having, you know, politicians speak via satellite in the churches and so on and so forth, very, very much involved. So if they go in on the side of global warming, inherently, that would put them more in line with the Democrats and the Republicans. But you can see the importance of this. So here you've got Muslims, Christians, and Jews uniting together to demand action on global warming. It's amazing stuff. It says the consensus declaration is the result of high-level climate summit of top national religious leaders hosted by the Reverend Sally Bingham, president of the Regeneration Project in San Francisco. It is signed by leaders of the largest religious institutions in America, representing millions of people, including the National Council of Churches, the Islamic Society of North America, the Alliance of Baptists, and the Religious Action Center of Reform Judaism. And the signers represent every region of the country. It's very intriguing. According to the Reverend Sally Bingham of the Regeneration Project, she says, quote, these leaders represent millions of the faithful who see beyond their differences to a common need and goal, protection of life on earth, end quote. So again, saying, hey, let's put down our arms, let's put down our differences, let's put down our guard and hold hands together and demand action on global warming. This is a scary, scary thought. On a number of different levels. And we've talked about this before, the idea of a theocracy, the idea of religious, God's will, in essence, being interpreted by government officials and so on and so forth. Well, when the churches start getting involved in political issues, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't care about the earth and the environment, of course you should. But you shouldn't demand that governments take action, because what action will they take? We've already talked about that. Newt Gingrich, in a big debate with John Kerry, they were debating these things, and Newt said, hey, look, we have to provide incentives, and Kerry said, no, we have to provide punishment for those who were breaking these efforts made to stop global warming or slow it down at the very least. So again, you got two sides of things. Do you offer incentives, or do you offer some sort of punitive measures, some punishment? Well, when you get all these different religious leaders and these different religious groups, different religions in general, all demanding action, is that not the very definition of the Hegelian philosophy? Problem, reaction, solution. The problem, global warming. The reaction, people demand that the government do something. The government says, oh, you forced our hand. okay, we relent. We promise we'll do exactly what you want. We'll start addressing global warming, and we're going to start with these taxes. And the religious leaders all shake hands and say, we did it. We unified. We started something big, peace on earth. And the government says, well, yeah, that's fine. You can have peace on earth, but you got to pay a little extra for that, because peace costs power. Power costs, you know, equates to carbon emissions. Carbon emissions equate to a bigger bill, some sort of tax, some sort of fine for carbon emissions, and so on and so forth. So again, the very, very thing that most of us take for granted, again, the awareness of the problem, reaction, solution equation is exactly being facilitated in the actions here of these religious leaders. It's amazing stuff. The 400-word statement represents the first step in what these leaders call, quote, an historic effort to pave the way for cultural change in America, end quote. They plan a series of activities, print and online advertisements, meetings with national legislators, and campaigns in individual congregations across the country. They also plan to enlist thousands of religious leaders across the country to also sign the statement. The statement cites text from the sacred writings of each Abrahamic tradition, which reveal a common concern for creation and a call to serve and protect the poor and the vulnerable. The joint statement says limits on global warming emissions can be achieved in ways that will stimulate the economy, encourage technological innovation, and lift up the poor. So all over the place with the religious endorsement of addressing global warming. Now, how will it be addressed? Well, obviously, they've talked about it being a national security issue and so on and so forth. That should tell you something. Anyway, we'll pause for a brief phone call. Vince in Montana, welcome to the program, sir.
Hey, good show tonight. I was very interested in hearing Zechariah Sitchin's old work rehashed and expounded on a little further. Mm-hmm. But I find it ironic that they're picking the Ark as a symbol of their unity in global warming. If we remember the story of the Ark, it was a select few that were spared, and the rest of humanity was mm-hmm. wiped out, which seems to be the exact philosophy of the Georgia Guidestones.
That's right.
Where 9/10 of the Earth is wiped out, and the select few are arced to compose that remaining half a billion that mm-hmm. you're supposed to be sustained forever. I think that there's no. First, I think that global warming is a straw dog. There's mm-hmm. many scientists, of course, that think it's a naturally occurring phenomenon, and happened before, and we really don't have that great effect on the overall climate of the Earth. It's a natural cycle. It's happening on other planets, of course, and yada yada, all this stuff goes on, but the fact that they're going to use it as an issue to force a great reorganization, a great reorganization of society, mm-hmm. and that they seem to be trying to use a term that I heard the other day, emanating the eschaton, in other words, using all the eschatological books, mm-hmm. all of the predictions, trying to manufacture this giant scenario whereby they can achieve this power and this reorganization. Mm-hmm. The Ark is a very apt symbol for that, kind of very subtle, that they would choose just to save a few in the Ark. Save a select remnant, and the rest of them would not be spared.
I think that is a very, very astute insight that you've provided to us, and I couldn't agree with you more. It's all about finding the common ground here. And look, I think there's nothing wrong with that. You know what I mean? If we're in a situation, we can all look at where we can stand together and agree on the basics first and then expand from then on out. But when you've got an elitist mentality of saying, hey, look, we've got this, this, and this, all you have to do is agree with our solution and we'll fix it for you. Again, this whole elitist mentality. Now, obviously, they still need the peons, you know what I mean? I mean, the powers that be need to have people like me and you because we're appliances to them. We're the microwaves, we're the refrigerators, we do the work, and they reap the benefits of the convenience of having us around to be slave laborers, in essence. So, you know, there have to be some of that stuff factored into it. But I agree with you. I think it is a very fascinating analogy to compare this ark, which, you know, again, I think scripturally it means something different. But I can see what you're getting at here with the Georgia Guidestones of saying, hey, look, if we do what we need to do, you know, everything's going to be perfect. The world will be great. We'll all be unified. World peace. I don't think world peace is possible. I really don't.
Well, only when the Lord returns. I mean,
yes.
That's when it'll be. But the thing is, you know, you say, well, they need us. They need the peons.
Mm-hmm.
The next step, you know, first it was the middle class being replaced by globalization, and then, of course, within America, the middle class being replaced by illegal immigration, mm-hmm. just rampant immigration. But the next step is going to be the robotic society.
Oh, yeah.
The only thing that works cheaper than an illegal immigrant mm-hmm. is a robot, is a mass-produced robot.
That's true.
A nanite.
Mm-hmm.
And when these new technologies come online, the old myth that, well, they need us to do the work, that won't be true anymore. That won't be true. They'll need some technicians mm-hmm. to maintain those things, and their agenda is a big culling.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I mean,
That's a good point, too, and I agree with you. I mean, there still will be a need, obviously, because somebody has to invent and develop these things. I mean, the elitists, they're not going to be inventing anything. The other thing, too, they're not really going to be so elite if they don't have somebody to lord it over. So they do have to have something there, and also they have to, of course, you get the powers that be working in conjunction and coalition to create this new world order that they'd like so big. So badly. What happens when they achieve it, or if they were to achieve it? Well, obviously, in their mind, they would say, well, once we get to that point, then we can duke it out to see who wins. They just cannibalize each other. Hang on a second, Vince. Folks, quick break. Back in three.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Jewish plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is Jewish and how Congress is controlled by the Jews. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, my friends. Tail end of hour number three already. And, of course, very, very proud and pleased to announce this hour is being brought to you by our good friends at Soleil Wellness, the makers of superior natural salt crystal products, including the one you've heard so much about, the salt crystal lamps. They also have skin and oral care products, natural foods, and more. You can check out the website for all the information you could possibly want or need at www.natural-salt-lamps.com. You can also call them toll-free at 866-497-0274. Fantastic stuff. Again, folks, we ask you to support our sponsors and advertisers and allow these broadcasts to continue. Let's get back to Vince in Montana. Vince, continue, please.
Well, I as far as these groups engineering scenarios, power groups, whoever they are, I call them the Hydra. It's because it's a multi-headed snake. It's not just one group. It's many factions, but it certainly is an evil faction attempting to engineer scenarios to bring about the illusion or the actual end time scenario. It's almost like a calling down of God for a battle. It's like setting up the battlefield and daring God to show up. In other words, they have such incredible power through the power of money, through the power of usury, that they're able to engineer the scenario for the end of the world at great expense and at great engineering task and call God down for a fight, basically.
I think that's very, very possible. I think that, you know, I kind of see it in the same fashion. It is very adversarial to a certain extent to sort of impersonate, and I think that's what they're trying to do here is impersonate some of the conditions and situations that would occur in prophecy and whatnot. So, you know, when you see certain things happening, I mean, again, most people will say, wow, that's amazing. But the powers that be, again, and certainly an amorphous group, but they do have an agenda, and the agenda is to, in my mind, to sort of supplant God as the person in charge at the end of Revelation. So, yeah, I do think that's what they want. I think that's what they're striving for, and I think that they're probably in for a very rude awakening. But, again, you know, if it were to be their scenario, they'd love to get rid of us. They'd love for us to be gone, but at the same time, they're not so elitist if they're in the majority, you know, if they're all rich and they're all powerful and they're all, you know, sort of there, what's going to happen? Well, they're going to have to duke it out amongst each other to find out who's top dog. They don't share power. They're just not in a position right now where they can make each other their enemies when they have us to pick on, I think. So ultimately, they're set up for failure, and those who would seek to serve them, I think, are really in for a surprise of their own when they find out that they've served their purpose. They're valueless now.
Well, that's the truth.
Yeah,
I mean, they will be find themselves valueless, but the answers aren't going to be anything that we. I mean, we could certainly all unify, and we could all hope and pray for that. But the answers are going to be found within each of us. Mm. It's going to be a deeper inner awakening for certain. For some, and some will be lost. Some will never awaken, and some will awaken. And it'll be water off the duck's back, no matter what kind of hard times or whatever kind of tribulation comes about. It's not going to matter. You know, when they can't hurt you, when you won't allow yourself to be hurt, that's when you've transcended their power.
Well said, sir. Very well said. I appreciate that very much. I appreciate the call and all the insight, because I think it's very, very timely, very important stuff.
God bless you, and have a good night.
Thank you so much, Vince. I appreciate you so much. God bless you as well, and Oh, positive notes. Take us out of hour number three. We'll be back with the fourth and final hour of the program in 90 seconds. Stay with us, folks. More Frankly Speaking Radio on the way.